Good morning and welcome to Morning Prayer on Sunday the 5th of April 2020, Palm Sunday. And of course this year we'll be celebrating Palm Sunday very differently to how we would normally in our churches. Normally we would possess from various parts of the villages and come into church with our palm crosses held up really, really high and coming in to ride on in majesty. And of course, we would be celebrating the Eucharist. I made the decision this week that I wouldn't break bread at the vicarage, but I would wait until we could all celebrate together as a community, either with a big benefice service or individually at St. Peter's Holy Trinity and St. Nicholas Church at De Weston. This morning's service will be one of prayer and quiet reflection. The order of service can be downloaded from the website, but if you haven't managed to do that or you don't have access to the website, please don't worry. Just follow me and just listen to the words and just take this opportunity to be still and to listen. If you have the order of service, I just ask you to join in the usual way where it's marked all. There will be some seasonal variations included in the service, but I will guide you as we go along. As I said, it is Palm Sunday and we may not be able to possess into our churches as normal. However, if you have a palm cross from perhaps last year hiding away somewhere, I'm just going to give you a few moments now to go away and find it. And I want you to bring it back and we will hold it up high and I will say the words that I would say in church. So grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us new hearts and constant wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now I'm going to ask you to hold up your cross and I will bless them, saying the words of God our Saviour, whose Son Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem as Messiah to suffer and to die. Let these palms be for us signs of his victory, and grant that when we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. So now let us pray. Jesus, you enter our life humbly, riding on a donkey, staying on our level, inviting our response. Circle our hearts, centre our minds, still our bodies, be present to us now. Amen. Now, in a moment of silence, I'm just going to ask you to call to mind some of the things that you might have said this week, perhaps some of the things you might have thought that are contrary to God's ways. And we prepare ourselves to make amends by saying the prayer on page 3. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. now, we won't be saying the Gloria until next Sunday. So the prayer for Palm Sunday is on your pews news, if you have one with you. And we can say together, Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility, and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our reading this morning is the Passion reading. Now, normally we would be saying the Passion reading together, each of us taking on the different parts: Jesus, Mary, Pilate, Barabbas, Peter, and of course Judas. But to do that this morning would take far too long, so I am going to read a very short part of Mark's Passion Gospel, beginning at chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. So hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found the colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They said to them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. That they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked round at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Mark's reflection on the Passion is very, very short and quite at a pace, although that is only a portion that we've heard this morning. If we'd been in church, then we would be reading Matthew's Passion Gospel, which is very long, very detailed, and really takes you into the spirit that I don't, at which I think that Luke and Mark miss out. I remember 8 years ago reading Matthew's Gospel when I was at Easter school as an ordinand. I was a second year, and Easter school that year fell in Holy Week, and it's the only time that years 1, 2 and 3 came together to read, to pray, to learn. And this year our tutors tasked years 1 and 2 to take a portion of Matthew's Gospel and to read a little of it every night to the whole of the school. And to do that, we were split into what we call cell groups or prayer groups. And we took it, we rehearsed it, and then we read it out to this, it's a vast, vast hall. And everybody had a tiny bit of the story and they read it one by one. Well, Bale and Co., which was my cell group, we decided that the Matthew Passion story was so profound, so detailed, that we wanted to approach it very differently. In this hall, the sports hall, was a side room which had deep, thick, red velvet curtains. Why there should be a side room with velvet curtains in a sports hall. I have absolutely no idea. But we decided the six of us would sit behind the velvet curtain and be just lone voices speaking out into the darkness as we took our turn to read the final bit of the Passion Gospel. And one by one, we read unseen to a darkened room so that people had the opportunity to listen to the words and to focus and to be drawn in to the Passion story. Well, at the end of it, you could hear a pin drop in that room. Nobody moved for 10 minutes, probably even a bit longer, because they were so profoundly moved by just hearing these disembodied voices speaking these final words of the Passion story. When eventually everybody decided to leave the hall, people came up to us and said, "That was absolutely amazing. We felt as if we were drawn into it. We were participants of that final bit of the Passion. Jesus being taken to the cross, the story of his mother being handed over to John, and then those final words, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And I haven't forgotten it. And I have to recall that moment every time I listen to Matthew again. From Palm Sunday until Good Friday, we are asked as Christians to walk the way of the cross, to be involved, to rethink our relationship with God. And Good Friday is that profound moment when we are at the foot of the cross and we wait for the glory of Easter Sunday when we have a new relationship with Christ. But as I reflected on these readings, or all the Passion readings, I actually felt this year for the first time that many people are really walking the way of the cross this year. We're looking at the events that are unfurling across the world at the moment. We think of those who are dying. We think of those who are suffering. We do think of those who are caring for the people who are ill in our hospitals. We think about the people who are keeping the wheels of industry, our shops, all in motion, that we can live a fairly good life still. I'm thinking about the people who are in lockdown, those who are not able to enjoy the sunshine at the moment, and those who are anxious and fearful. The Bishop of Birmingham spoke on Thought for the Day on Monday, and he spoke about that journey. And he said that, you know, this is a time of thinking about relationships. And when Jesus was walking the way of the cross, he watched relationships fall away from him. He was betrayed by the disciples. He was denounced by Judas. And although there is that great sense of the journey to the cross in our world today, there is something already quite beautiful happening. Even in this week of all weeks, the holiest of all weeks, relationships are not breaking down as they did for Jesus. Relationships are good and strong that I have not seen before in a long, long time. I have been absolutely amazed by the kindness and the generosity of other people, the people who are volunteering to do shopping, the people who are volunteering to ring people to make certain that they are okay, people who are prepared to stand outside Boots for 3 hours in order to pick up a batch of prescriptions to take to those who cannot leave their homes. I have watched the generosity of people who are standing in Tesco's waiting to go into the shop, but they see somebody who works for the National Health Service and just say to them, "You go first, mate." I have also heard stories about people's shopping bills being paid for them. These are all very, very profound statements of absolute love and generosity. I think the challenge for us this week, and certainly for Easter, and perhaps in a few months' time when we look back and reflect on this time, is how do we continue with those relationships? How do we continue to offer love and joy and peace? Not just to our local community, but to the people about us, the wider community. How do we respond in the world to love, community and love for one another? That is a huge challenge. But out of all of this darkness and out of the uncertainty that we are facing at the moment, this is the good that come from that. That is the light of Christ, which we see on Easter Sunday. Amen. And now we say the words of the Creed. And we use the words of the Creed on page 6, saying together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, we wait for you. Speak to us with your still small voice. Quieten our fears, hold us when we are anxious. Comfort us when we are distressed. Renew our strength, restore our faith. Refresh our vision. Help us to wait with you through these days of Holy Week, to make space in our lives to receive you. And now we have a time, I think, of open prayer, or a time of praying silently, offering up to God this world at the moment, praying for the situation that we live in, and of course holding before him the doctors and the nurses, our ambulancemen, policemen. We pray for the workers in Tesco's, for the dustbin men, for the hordes of volunteers. Lord, we pray for those who are ill at this time in our own community here. We pray for Chris Dowie and his family, particularly for Michael at this time. We pray for Yvonne and for Celia, for Mike Hughes, for Ian, for Robin and Josie, for Catherine and Graham. Lord Jesus, when we lose sight of you, crowded out by our fears and anxiety, search us out with your piercing gaze, find us and hold us in your undefended heart of love. So may we lay aside our false selves, finding that in you we are made whole, Amen. And we now draw our prayers together with the prayer that Jesus Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, if you are sitting, I'm now going to ask you to stand for the peace. Now, for a long time, we haven't been able to celebrate the peace properly. But if you're in your own home and standing with someone, please do so. So once we're far off, but now in union with Christ Jesus, we have been brought near through the shedding of Christ's blood, for he is our peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. So let us offer one another a sign of Christ's peace. And the blessing. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all for evermore, and particularly with those who you love at this time. Amen. So now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.